Blog Talk Radio.
You must focus, my son.
Oh yeah.
God, Jahi.
Main DJ.
Oh yeah.
DJ Rock.
Check this out.
Know yourself. Love yourself.
Oh yeah.
Be yourself and then free yourself.
If you
don't know yourself, you can't love yourself. You can't be yourself to even free yourself.
So
know yourself. Love yourself. Be
yourself
and then free yourself. If you don't know yourself, you can't love yourself. You can't be yourself to even free yourself.
Yeah, young, black, gifted, exquisite, mind lifted, curse and cracker, I meant it. If you wanna see black dead, that's in your bed. Instead of trying to spill my red, you gettin' egg. Ain't no care about us, there ain't no way that we would ever sell ours out, we'd rather spray. Motherfuckers be jealous like that, we call them jelly. I'm riding for mine, so I'm riding for R. Kelly. Shattown, no coon, self-hatin' or try snitchin'. Game official, stick together like fam missing. Scrap the motherfuckers doing the worst to us. So yeah, we on cold, ready to bust, trust.
Know yourself, love yourself. Be yourself and then free yourself. If you don't know yourself, you can't love yourself. You can't be yourself to even free yourself.
Now check
so it. Know yourself, love yourself. Be yourself and then free yourself. If you don't know yourself, you can't love yourself. You can't be yourself to even free yourself.
Listen, I'm in the kitchen cooking up a composition. See, I speak the spoken word, never had to front it. If you put me on the stage with a mic, I'ma run it. Boss lady, 55, trendsetter, really live. All black, everything certified. Pour a little liquor for my homies when I heard they died. RBG, down a ride, chessboard, black side. Never gave a fuck about the other side. If you a bootlicking coon, then it's suicide.
Know yourself, love yourself. Be yourself and then free yourself. If you don't know yourself, you can't love yourself. You can't be yourself to even free yourself. So know yourself, love yourself. Be yourself and then free yourself. If you don't know yourself, you can't love yourself. You can't be yourself to even free yourself.
That way you go.
Imagination tonight. The Miracle Healing Pentecostal Revival and Explosion right down in Monroe, come sick, leave well, come sad, leave glad, and be involved in a Pentecostal explosion. I just want to say to you, universal peace, love, peace, freedom, justice at all costs. And I want to tell Sister Deborah Ann Monroe, I'm looking forward to seeing you because we're honoring Sister Lena Mae Anderson, who one of the pioneers of House of Prayer in Monroe, who helped build House of Prayer in Monroe. And about Sister Lena Mae Anderson, I'm inviting the whole family. They should be there as we honor Sister Lena Mae Anderson as one of the soldiers said she would be there. And I just want you, Mother Frances from New Orleans, she will be there. Well, we're going to, what we're going to do, we're going to let people know about much of things great. This is the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Movement Night. I want to talk about sleeping through a revolution. Let me say it again. Sleeping through a revolution. It is people coming by the buttload. He blacked and went to sleep. They asked the question to the politician, excuse me, what's going on that so many people coming in haven't seen a doctor or dentist? And they say, we got people fought in Korea. And these people fought in Vietnam and Korea. They can't even get a medical card. So something is going on. And I don't want you to sleep through a revolution. I want you to sleep. God is still in control. Now, I want to tell you about a divine healing. I want to tell you about come sick, be well. Sad, be glad. If you're searching for your healing, you come to the right place. And I want to tell you tonight, all is well. Some of you move slow. And the problem is you sleep through a revolution. You're sleeping through things that happening for you. You're going to sleep. And we're taking dope, alcohol, and drugs. Turn away from universal peace, freedom, and justice come from us. We made America. Our ancestors built America. So it's important for you to know what we're talking about tonight. And I'm going to say it again. Maybe you put it in your spirit. I'm going to say it one more time. Universal peace. Love, truth, peace, freedom, and justice all out. And a just man needs a just woman. A just woman needs a just man. A just man and just woman need a just stop killing babies. We got to get back to the old-fashioned way. All is well. There's a miracle breaking up in your house now. And you don't even know it. You don't went to sleep. You don't went to sleep on cocaine. You don't went to sleep on jealousy. You don't went to sleep because you're mad at somebody you know nothing about. And you're trying to imitate somebody else. And you need to be yourself. Know yourself. Be yourself. Walk in yourself. I got a little piece here by Brother Jahi. And I'm going to play it.
You must focus, my son.
God, Jahe.
Oh yeah.
DJ Rock.
Check this out.
Let's go.
Know yourself. Love yourself.
Oh yeah.
Be yourself and then free yourself. If you don't know yourself, you can't love yourself. You can't be yourself to even free yourself.
Right.
So know yourself. Love yourself. Be yourself and then free yourself. If you don't know yourself, you can't love yourself. You can't be yourself to even free yourself.
Yeah, young, black, gifted, exquisite, mind lifted, curse and cracker, I meant it. If you wanna see black dead, that's in your bed. Instead of trying to spill my red, you getting egg. Ain't no care about us, there ain't no
way that we would ever sell ours out, we'd rather spray. Motherfuckers jealous like that, we call them jelly. I'm riding for mine, so I'm riding for R. Kelly. Shot town, no coon, self-hating, or dry snitching. Game official, stick together like fam missing. Scrap the motherfuckers doing the worst to us. So yeah, we on cold, ready to bust, trust.
Know yourself, love yourself, be yourself and then free yourself. If you don't know yourself, you can't love yourself. You can't be yourself to even free yourself.
Now
check it. Know yourself, love yourself, be yourself and then free yourself. If you don't know yourself, you can't love yourself. You can't be yourself to even free yourself.
Now,
listen. I'm in the kitchen cooking up a composition. See, I speak the spoken word, never had the front end. If you put me on the stage with a mic, I'ma run it. Boss lady, 55, trendsetter, really live. All black, everything certified. Pour a little liquor for my homies when I heard they died. RBG, down a ride, chessboard, black side. Never gave a fuck about the other side. If you a bootlicking coon,
saying know yourself, be yourself, act yourself, get that education, get that doctor degree, get ready and help people. I want to talk about sleeping through revolution. I'm talking about right now, 2023, we're sleeping through what's going on in Washington. We're sleeping through what's going on in Chicago, Detroit, with people coming in from another country. We ain't stood up and challenged our government to why all these people coming in. And this is the Dr. King movement night. This is Dr. Martin King.
I need not pause to say how very delighted I am to be here this morning. And I do want to express my deep personal appreciation to Dean Saya and all of the cathedral for extending the invitation. It is always a rich and rewarding experience to take a deep, brief break from our day-to-day demands and the struggle for freedom and human dignity. And friends of goodwill all over our nation. And certainly it is always a deep and meaningful experience to be in a worship service. I'm happy to be here today. I would like to use as a subject from which to preach this morning, remain awake through a great revolution. The text for the morning is found in the book of Revelation. There are two passages there that I would like to quote. It's in the 16th chapter of that book. Behold, I make all things new. Former things are passed away. A little story from the pen of Washington Irving entitled Rip Van Winkle. The one thing that we usually remember about the story is that way the story begins. But that is another point in that little story that is almost always completely overlooked. It was not Rip Van Winkle went up in the mountain. Someone had came to observe him. When he came down, 20 years later, the sign had a picture of George Washington, the first president of the United States. George Washington, but in looking at the picture, he was amazed. He was completely lost. He loved who he was. And this reveals to us that the most striking thing about the story of Rip Van Winkle is not merely that Rip slept for years, but that he slept through the revolution. A revolution was taking place that at once would change the course of history. Rip knew nothing about it. He was asleep. One of the great liabilities of life is that all too many people find themselves living amid the great period of social change. Yet they fail to develop the new attitude, the new mental response that the new situation demands. They end up sleeping through a revolution. Is taking place in the world today. In the sense it is a triple revolution. That is a technological revolution with a revolution in weaponry with the emergence of atomic and nuclear weapons of warfare. And that is a human rights revolution. With the freedom explosion of the world. Yes, we do live in a period where changes are taking place. That is still the voice crying from the midst of time, saying the whole, I don't take all things away. Now, whenever anything new comes and history brings with it new challenges and new opportunities.
That's Dr. Martin Luther King. And his subject is Sleeping Through the Revolution. I want to say to you tonight that's listening, we want to honor Sister Leah Hamilton down in Monroe. She was a soldier and a great prophet of God. And we want to honor her in November. So I want you to know that. But we're going to get back to Dr. Martin Luther King. Sleeping through a revolution. Do you know we at Black folks let folks come take our job, take our family, and we won't stand up. Everybody march. But black man.
And I would like to deal with the challenges that we face as a result of this triple revolution that is taking place in the world today. First, we are challenged to develop
knows that he can live alone escaping the revolution. The world in which we live is here in Revelation 1, chapter 1. It's true that the geographical oneness of this age has come to be to a large extent through modern man's scientific ingenuity. Modern man and place time and change. Our jet planes have compressed into minutes distances that once took weeks and even months. All of this shows us that our world is through our scientific and technological genius. We have made of this world a neighborhood, and yet we have not had the ethical commitment to make it a neighborhood. Somehow and in some way we got to do this. We must all learn to live together as brothers, or we will all perish together as fools. According to this mutuality, whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly. For some strange reason, I can never be. Until I am allowed to be. This is the way God's universe is made. This is the way it's structured. John Donne caught it. Every man is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. And he goes on toward the end to say, any man is dead to me because I am involved in mankind. Therefore, never spoken to me. We must see this, believe this, and live by it. If we are to remain weak through a great revolution. Second, we are to humanity. The last vestiges of racial injustice from our nation. I must say this morning, the black man's birth and the white man's shame. It is an unhappy truth that racism is a vast majority of white Americans. Spoken and unspoken, acknowledged and denied, subtle, sometimes poison the whole body politic. And I can see nothing more urgent for America to work. Everyone must share in the guilt, as individuals and as institutions. The government must certainly share the guilt.
get rid of certain myths that have constantly been disseminated all over our nation. One is a myth of time. It is a notion that only time can solve the problem of racial injustice. Stop pushing things so fast. On the time side of problem, if you would just be nice, that is an answer to that myth. It is a time is neutral. It can be used either constructively or destructively. I'm sorry to say that the forces of ill will in our nation, the extreme righteous of our nation, the people on the wrong side, use time much more effectively than the forces of have to repent in this generation. Not merely for the patriotic words and the violence of the bad people, but for the appalling silence and indifference. Somewhere we must come to see that human progress never rolls in on the wheel of inevitability. It comes through the tireless efforts and the persistent work. Without this hard work, time itself becomes an ally of the primitive forces of social stagnation. So we must have time. Time is all right. Now that is another that still gets around. It is a kind of over-reliance on the bootstrap philosophy. The Negro is to rise out of poverty. The Negro is to rise out of single condition. He is to rise out of discrimination and segregation. He must do it all by himself. So they say, the Negro must lift himself by his own bootstraps. They never stop to realize that no other Negro has been a slave on American soil. The people who say this never stop to realize that the nation made the black man's color stigma. And beyond this, they never stop to realize that they all who were kept in slavery 244 years, 1863, a Negro was told that he was free as a result of the Emancipation Proclamation being signed by Abraham Lincoln. He was not given any land to make that free. Something like keeping a person in prison for a number of years and suddenly discovering that that person is not guilty of a crime for which he was convicted. Just go up to him and say, now you're free. But you don't give him any bus fare to get to town. You don't give him any money to get some clothes to put on his back or to get on his feet again in life. Every old jurist proven rise up against it. Yet this is the very thing that our nation did to the black man. It simply said you're free. And it left them there penniless, illiterate, not knowing what to do. The irony of it all is that at the same time, the nation failed to do anything for the black man. Through an act of Congress, it was giving away millions of acres of land in the West and the Midwest, which meant that it was willing to undergird its white peasants from Europe with economic floor. But not only did it give the land,
land grant colleges to teach them how to farm. Not only that, it provided county agents to further their expertise in farming. Not only that, years unfolded, it provided low interest rates so that they could mechanize our farms. And to this day, thousands of these very persons are receiving millions of dollars in federal subsidies every year not to farm. And these are so often the very people tell Negroes that they must lift themselves by their own bootstraps. It's all right to tell a man to lift himself by his own bootstraps, but it is a cruel jest to say to a bootless man that he ought to lift himself by his own bootstraps. He has come to see that the roots of racism are very deep in our country. And there must be something positive and massive about it to get rid of all of the effects of racism and the tragedies of racial injustice. And that is another thing closely related to racism that I would like to mention as another challenge. We are challenged to rid our nation and the world of poverty. Like a monstrous octopus, poverty spreads its nagging, prehensile tentacles into hamlets and villages all over our world. 2/3 of the people of the world go to bed hungry at night. They are ill-housed, they are ill-nourished, they are shabbily clad. I've seen it in Latin America, I've seen it in Africa. I've seen this poverty in Asia. I remember some years ago, Mrs. King and I journeyed to that great country known as India. I never will forget the experience. It was a marvelous experience to me. Talk with the great leaders of India, to meet and talk with and speak to thousands and thousands of people all over that vast country. These experiences will remain dear to me as long as the cords of memory shall linger. But I say to you this morning, my friends, that when those depressive moments, God thought of all being depressed, when he sees with his own eyes evidences of millions of people going to bed hungry at night, how can one avoid being depressed? When he sees with his own eyes God's children sleeping on the sidewalks at night. In Bombay, more than 1 million people sleep on the sidewalks every night. In Calcutta, more than 600,000 sleep on the sidewalks every night. They have no beds to sleep in. They have no houses to go in. How can one avoid being depressed? He discovers that out of India's population, more than 500 million people, some 480 million, make an annual income of less than $90 a year. Most of them have never seen a doctor or dentist. I noticed these things, something within me cried out, can we in America stand idly by and not be concerned? And an answer came, oh no, because the destiny of the United States tied up with the destiny of India and every other nation. And I started thinking of the fact that we spend in America millions of dollars a day to store surplus. And I said to myself, I know where we can store that food free of charge in the record stomachs of the millions of children all over the world who go to bed hungry at night. We spend money on basis around the world, rather
rather than basis of genuine concern and understanding. Not only do we see poverty abroad, I would remind who are poverty stricken. I have seen them here and there. I've seen them in rural areas of the South. I've seen them in Appalachia. I've just been in the process of touring. And I must confess that in some situations, I literally found myself crying. I was in Marks, Mississippi the other day, which is in Quitman County. I found hundreds of little black boys and black girls walking the streets with no shoes to wear. I saw their mothers and their fathers trying to carry on a program, but had money. The government hadn't funded them. They were trying to carry on, and they raised a little money here and there, trying to get a little food to feed the children, trying to teach them a little something. I saw my mother. They didn't get any kind of income, no old age pension, no welfare check or anything. I said, how do you live? They said, well, we go around asking for the berry season comes, we pick berries. When the rabbit season comes, we hunt and catch a few rabbits. And that's about it. And I was in Newark and Harlem just this week. And I went in to the homes of wealthy mothers. I saw them in conditions, no, not with wall-to-wall carpet, but wall-to-wall rats and roaches. I stood in an apartment. This well-to-do man in 2 years, he had made a single repair. Pointed out the little boy who was a victim of lead poisoning. She pointed out the walls, all of the ceiling. She said, night to night, we have to stay awake. Keep the rats and the roaches from getting to the children. I said, how much do you pay for this apartment? He said, $125. I looked at our phones, $1,000. Poor people are forced to pay more for this. Living in conditions day in and day out, where the whole area is constantly drained without being replaced. More than a million people are invisible. Because America is so affluent and so rich. Because our expressways carry us away from the ghetto, we don't see the poor. He reminded us that a man went to hell because he didn't see the poor. His name was Diabetes. He was a rich man. That was a man that not only was he poor, he was sick. Sores were all over his body. He was so weak that he could hardly move. But he managed to get to the gate of Diabetes every day. One that would fall from his table. Diabetes did nothing about it. And the parable ends saying, it says that Naavid went to hell because he was rich. One day rich people came to him, and he advised him to sell all. But in that instance, Jesus was prescribing individual surgery and not setting forth a universal diagnosis. And if you will look at that parable with all the conversation between heaven and hell, and on the other end of that long distance call between heaven and hell was Abraham in heaven. Talking to Diabetes in hell. Now, Abraham was a very rich man. If you go back to the Old Testament, he was a rich man. A rich man in hell talking with a poor man in heaven. It was a little millionaire in hell talking with a multimillionaire in heaven. Diabetes didn't go to hell because he was rich. That separated him from his brother Lazarus. Diabetes went to hell because he passed by Lazarus every day and he never really saw him. He went to hell because he allowed his brother in hell because he maximized the minimum and minimized the maximum. Indeed, Diabetes went to hell because he sought to be a conscientious objector in the war. It happened to America, the richest nation in the world. And nothing wrong with that. This is America's opportunity to help bridge the gulf between us. New is that we now have the techniques and the resources to get rid of poverty. The real question is whether we have the will. Some of us are coming to Washington to see if the will is still alive or if it is alive in this nation. We're coming to Washington in a poor people's campaign. The huddled masses. We're going to bring those who have known long years of hurt and neglect. We're going to bring those who come to feel that life is long and desolate. We're going to bring children and adults and old people. People who've never seen a doctor or a dentist in their lives. We're not coming to an history the government will address itself to the problem of poverty. We read one day, we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are entitled to certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But if a man doesn't have a job or an income, he has neither life nor liberty. He merely exists. We're coming to ask America to be true to the huge promise for it at its time years ago. We're coming to nonviolent action to call attention to the gulf between promise and fulfillment, to make the invisible visible. Why do we do it this way? We do it this way. God move around questions of genuine equality for the poor and for black people until it is confronted massively, dramatically, in terms of direct action. Great documentary here, television, many of some years ago,
first conference on civil rights, and we have the same recommendations that we will be demanding in our campaign here, but nothing has been done. The President's Commission on Technology Nothing has been done. The Kerner Commission came out with its report just a few days ago, then made specific recommendations. Nothing has been done. And I submit that nothing will be done. Those people of goodwill put their bodies and their souls in motion. And it will be the kind of soul force brought into being as a result of this confrontation. And I believe it will make a difference. Yes, it will be a people's campaign. This is a question facing America. Ultimately, a great nation is a compassionate nation. America has not made its obligation and its responsibilities to the poor. One day, we will have to stand before the God of history, and we will talk in terms of anger. Yes, we will be able to say, we build gargantuan bridges to span the seas. We build gigantic buildings to kiss the sky. Yes, we made our submarines to penetrate history is saying that was not enough. But I was hungry, and you fed me not. I was not. I was devoid of a decent sanitary house to live in, and ye provided no shelter for me. And consequently, you cannot enter the kingdom of greatness. If you do it unto the least of these, my brethren, that's the question facing America today. And I want to say one other challenge that we face. It's simply that we must find out
fighting for the so-called freedom of the Vietnamese people. We do not even put our own people. We force young black men and young white men to fight and kill in brutal solidarity.
Yet when they come back home, they can hardly live on the same block together. Just yesterday. Down the line and see that something must be done, and something must be done quickly. We have alienated ourselves from a nation so we have more political nations in the world as the major allies of the United States of America that were there sending a troop to Vietnam, and so the only friends that we have now. A few quiet nations like Taiwan, Thailand, South Korea, and a few others. This is where we are. Mankind must be war with mankind. And the best way to start is to put an end to the war in Vietnam, because if it continues, we will inevitably come to the point of confronting China, which could leave the whole no longer the choice, my friends, between violence and nonviolence. It is either nonviolence or non-existence, and the alternative to disarmament, the alternative to a greater suspension of nuclear tests, the alternative to spending and that on the whole world. May well get civilization plunged into the abyss of annihilation, and our earthly habitat will be transformed into an inferno. Even the mind of Dante could not imagine. This is why we are working wherever I can to rouse the conscience of our nation on it. I remember so well when I first took the stand against the war in Vietnam. Most negative and sometimes most vicious way. One day a newsman came to me and said, Dr. King, don't you think you're going to have to stop now opposing the war and move more in line with the administration's policy? Because I understand your organization, people who once respect you have lost respect. People who once respected you have lost respect for you. Don't you feel that you really got to change your position? I looked at him and I had to say, sir, I'm sorry you don't know me. I'm not a consensus leader. I do not determine what is right and wrong, looking at the budget of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, or by taking a sort of gallop hold of a majority opinion. Ultimately, not such a consensus, but a consensus on some positions. Expedient that cowardice asks the question is expedient. And then expediency comes along and questions it publicly. Humanity asks the question, is it popular? And conscience asks the question, is it right? There comes a time
forget, we will be down in Monroe in November, and to honor Sister Lena Mae Anderson, one of the great missionaries of House of Prayer, and just her family to come together. And sometimes she come to me and said, Bishop, get them all together. Call your friend, call your neighbor. We're going to have a great 3-day tent healing service right there in Monroe.
to myself, you're such a lucky guy. To have a girl like her is truly a dream come true.
Every night on my knees I pray.